Amen. Thank you, Tim.
Praise the Lord. That is a great, great song. Wonderful. I call your attention to verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Here's a mother with great faith. And that is the title of my message this morning, A Mother's Great Faith. Father, I pray you bless the preaching and thank you for all the music. Thank you for everyone who's here. And Lord, help us to realize it's not an accident that we're here. Everybody's here on purpose. You have something for us. Please speak to our hearts. If there's anyone here who's not saved, I pray you'd save them today. And just speak to us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Many stories are told about trying to describe a mother's love, a mother's faith. And one of my favorite stories my family harasses me about to this day, in fact, just did the other day, was the story that, and I'm not sure where it was. It may have been here, but it was a while back. But I was giving an illustration. The illustration is supposed to go like this, that a family was sitting down to eat, and there was a family of five, and there were four pieces of pie. And everybody looked around, and they said, what are we going to do? There's only four pieces of pie, but there's five people. And the mother said, well, I won't eat any, or I'm not hungry, or something like that. That's a great story. And it's much more tear-jerking than that. Well, one day I was preaching on that, and I got all, and illustrations that I try to read, I can't read them because I very seldom look down at, you know, other than just following an outline. And so I'm trying to get this illustration, and I'm looking up. And anyway, I made the statement. I said, this family sat down to eat, and the mother had baked this whole pie, and she cut it into four pieces, and there were five people to eat. And anyway, I ended up saying, and the mother said she didn't want any. So my wife, every time she serves pie, she cuts it in four pieces. She says, honey, do you think that would be enough? You know, each one would get a fourth of the pie. So anyway, I get harassed about that all the time. And I'm trying to show the mother's sacrifice and her willingness to, you know, sacrifice her piece of pie. And anyway, it could be a good illustration, I suppose. And I'm sure mothers here have done that, where you sacrifice, you said no thank you, so that your children could eat, or so that so dad could eat or something. We should be amazed all around this room. If we could all give testimonies of something our mother's done, we would hear things like that. We would hear of sacrifice. And we would hear of just great, great things. You know, we try to honor and recognize mothers with flowers and phone calls, of course, and cards, and many will receive those today. And unique gifts from the children. They'll have little things that they've put together. Probably Sunday school, you'll get something today from a Sunday school class. It'll be quality. Your child made it, and they made it with love. They'll draw a picture of you, and like my favorite picture I just received recently, it was a head with hair and then legs. And coming off the side of the head were arms. Though I like those. That's a thin picture of me, but you'll get pictures like that, and they'll draw, you know, mother doing this and doing that. My wife, I remember one time she received a little packet. I believe it was from Angela when she was like five or six or something like that, and it had little coupons in it. You know, you can, I will dust, you give me this coupon, and I'll dust, give me this coupon, I'll wash the dishes, give me this coupon, I'll do whatever. And Brenda was so impressed with that, except she still has all the coupons because she never did do them. But no, just kidding. But all kinds of things. And kids come up with all these ideas and everything. The thing I was thinking about this morning when I walked in, I told my Sunday school class this. When I walked in, Donna Pearson was sitting at the desk, and she said that she just heard a message about honor thy mother. And I made the statement as I was walking through. I just said, I am doing all I can to honor my mother. And, you know, I hope you will honor your mother. I really do. You say, well, you say, Pastor, your mother's in heaven. And my life should bring honor to her. That is the way we honor our mother. It's the best kind of honor you can give to your mother today, is that your life would be right She brought you into this world. She went through just unbelievable things to bring you into this world, and pain and sorrow and literally the jaws of death to bring you into this world. How terrible for you to come into this world and not do what God wanted you to do with your life. And to bring honor to your mother, just do what God wants you to do. And that will be the greatest honor that any of us could bestow on our mothers. But I've thought about this passage, and I do not know if I don't think I have ever preached from this passage. I was surprised as I was reading through it and studying. I've actually been working on several messages for Mother's Day. I'm not sure why, just for the last couple months, looking at different passages. But God really laid on my heart that we needed this today. And verse 28, it says, "Great is thy faith." Only two times did Jesus say that to someone, and here he says it to this mother. Here he says it to a woman who wasn't even a Jew. Someone that was, as we will see here, someone who was a Gentile, who was really from a heathen people. And Jesus says to her, "Great is thy faith." It's amazing. And so it stood out to me. And I see a mother's great faith here. And her faith, she received for this, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Now I promise you, there's people in this room right now, you'd love to hear Jesus say that to you today. I mean, you are praying, you're begging God for some things, and you're asking God to do some great things, and wouldn't you love for Him to say this morning, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." In other words, whatever's in your heart today, whatever it is that you desire today, whatever it is that you're praying about today, be it unto thee. Well, you'd love to hear that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be a great thing today? This woman heard that today, because she heard that day, and we see that today. This mother had great faith. And Jesus said, because you have this great faith, he says, whatever's in your heart, it's going to happen. And by the way, it did happen. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And you know, we need that here at Berean Baptist Church. We need that kind of faith, and we also need that kind of result. What a blessing it would be to see that kind of faith and that kind of result in our church. Because I know many of the prayer requests represented in this room. I know many of the desires that are represented in this room. And what an amazing thing it would be for us to see this kind of result from having this kind of faith. I've got 5 points I want to give you. And I did everything I could. I love to alliterate sermons and everything. I did everything I could to get this alliterated the way I wanted it, but I couldn't get it the way I wanted it. The first point is we'll see her humility, and then we see trust, and then we see importunity, then we see her agreement, and then we see her favor. And I did everything I could, but it spells faith backwards. I can tell you're totally impressed. But anyway, humility, trust, importunity, agreement, favor, H-T-I-A-F. And backwards, that spells faith. So if you want to be impressed, you have to look at it backwards. So anyways, you write all that down, you capitalize and everything, and you look at it upside down or backwards, however you want to do it, it'll spell faith. Because I want you to remember her faith. And I want you to see what it really is. And how it is. Number one, it starts with humility. It starts with humility. And boy, we see it so clearly with this woman. I mean, this mother, you talk about somebody who was humble. You talk, hey, you're here today and you say, I got it all figured out. I've got everything. I've gone to college and I've got a degree or I'm a businesswoman and I've got all this intelligence and all this background and I know how to do this and I know how to do that. And boy, you've got it all. Probably you're not going to appreciate this message. Probably you're not going to even understand what it is to have to beg God for something to happen. But here's a woman, we see humility, and that is really the first step of faith and getting anything out of God. That is the first step. This humility, this woman had a problem in verse 22, and the Bible says here, it says that she cried out to Jesus saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter," she said. Somebody I love very dearly, my daughter. Maybe it was her only daughter, I don't know. Says she's grievously vexed with the devil. In my mind, I immediately thought about others who were vexed with devils and how they threw themselves down, how they foamed at the mouth, how that they would throw themselves into a fire and they would wander around, they would injure themselves and all these different things. And immediately I thought this woman had a problem here, and it was a problem where she couldn't do anything about it. She couldn't do anything about it. By the way, the devil's out to get all of our children. I think about the waters up here with little Joel, and little Joel's got a target on him. And the devil's got he's looking at that target, and he's doing all he can to get after that little boy. And he's after your children. And he's over in that nursery, and he stirs them up in that nursery, and the toddlers. And you say, oh, preacher, they're just little children. Hey, the devil's after our kids. And here's a mother that said, hey, I don't want the devil to have my child. I don't want the devil to be able to do this to my daughter. I've got to have help. Now, she realized there was a lot of things she could do for her daughter. She realized she could fix her meals. She realized she could take care of the little scratches on her knees. She realized there were many things she could do. She knew she could get up in the middle of the night, and when her daughter had a fever, she could lay a cold rag on her head. She knew that she could comfort her, and she could say wonderful things to her, and she could teach her how to read, and she could do a lot of things. But here was something, my friend, she could not do anything about it herself. She had to humble herself. And she had to come to Jesus. I got news for you, folks. We need to understand something. The devil is after our kids. The devil is after your children. He's after your grandchildren. He's after your great-grandchildren. And it's time we go to Jesus with humility and say, God, we're trusting you. You've got to do this. She found out this was something she could not do. And she needed God to do it. And you know what? That's where salvation starts, folks, in our lives. Salvation starts with us realizing, here's something I cannot do. Here's something that I can't do myself. I can't save myself. There's nothing I can do to save myself. Oh, you say, yes, I believe that you can go to church. That doesn't save you. Well, I believe you could become religious. That doesn't save you. You cannot save yourself. It is a matter of humility. You know, anything spiritual starts off with humility. Anything for God starts off with, hey, God, I'm letting you do this because I can't do this. You say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. I'm an American, and I was born in America, and surely that'll get me to heaven. It doesn't get you to heaven. It doesn't get you to heaven. You cannot be good enough to get yourself to heaven. My Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. No, you have to be saved by coming to Jesus Christ. And you come to Jesus Christ with your head bowed, saying, God, I'm a sinner. And I deserve punishment for my sin. And I know there is nothing of myself that deserves heaven. But I know your Son, as Tim just sang about, your Son shed His blood so that I could be saved, so my sins could be covered by that blood, so my sins could be blotted out by that blood. And we come with humility. We come with humility. You're not going to get anything from God as long as you think you can do it. You and I, we're not going to receive anything from God as long as we have things under control. It's when we let go. It's when we say, God, I can't do it. I need you to do it, God. She came with humility. I love what it says here. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now you have to understand, Jesus is not insulting her here, but He is using terminology of that day. And in verse 22, it says she was a woman of Canaan. And I mentioned this a while ago. She was a Gentile. Of course, Jesus was a Jew. And God's people are the Jews. And in that day, the Gentiles were called dogs by the Jews. And they were not referred to as children of God, ever. It would not have made sense. They were heathen. So the Jews were the children of God, and anyone else, doesn't matter who they were, anyone else was considered heathen. And here's what Jesus is saying to her. He's saying it's not right to take the children or the believers' bread and cast it to unbelievers. He said it's not right. He wasn't insulting her. Here's what He's doing. He's testing her faith. He's going to find out, do you really believe? Do you really think I can do something about this? Because you know what? You're a Gentile. Most Gentiles, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Oh, listen to me. He's just waiting to see, what's she going to think about being called a dog? What's she going to think about being called a Gentile? What's she going to think about being called an unbeliever? And you know what she does? And I love this. You talk about humility. Hey, when you have reached the end and you know there's nothing you can do. When you have reached the, I'm talking about, you know God has to do it. Notice verse 27. After Jesus said that, she said, "Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Crumbs. She said, "I'm willing to lick up any crumb I can get because I want my daughter healed." Boy, that's good. Humility. It's like when you bowed your head and you said, "I know I am a sinner and I deserve punishment for my sin." You say, "I don't want to say that. I can't say." Oh, my friend, you can't be saved until you recognize that. You need to realize that. And you know, as a Christian, see, our problem is we get so big-headed sometimes. Would you be willing today to get under the table and take a crumb? Would you be willing today to say, God, I'll take your crumbs. I'll take anything, God. I deserve nothing. I deserve nothing, but I'll take anything you have, God. I just want my daughter healed. That's all. I just don't want the devil to have her. I just don't want the devil to have anyone in my family. I just don't want, look, God, I just want your will for my life. And she said in verse 22, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Oh, listen, come to Him today. You have a need, but come to Him with humility. Come to Him with your head bowed. Come to Him without the facade of, "Hey, I've got it all under control," because you don't. Truth is, none of us do. "Well, I got my finances under control." No, you don't. We've just gone through a period where people thought they did, and they didn't. Hey, I've watched people who've been on the same job 25 years or more, and all of a sudden it's gone. What do you have now? I have nothing. I have nothing. You're hearing it all the time. I'm hearing about people that had, I've got my retirement fund is in good shape. It was in good shape until it wasn't. And all of a sudden, what are we going to do? Hey, listen to me. It could be God just wants you to say, "Hey, God, I don't know what to do." But you do. God's looking for some humility. What's America's biggest problem? I think one of America's biggest problems is this right here. We're not humble. We think we got it all figured out. We think we have it all under control. We have nothing under control. You know, we talk about trillions and trillions of dollars like it's nothing. It's everything. It's a lot. And I'm just saying, you know, we need to come to the point where we say, "Oh, God, I can do nothing. You can do everything, and I've got to have you." This woman came to that place. And there's mothers all over this room. At one time or another, you came to that place. You knelt by that little baby's side when that baby had a fever and you didn't know what to do. And you did everything you could do, and finally you just said, "Oh, God, please help my baby." That's what this mother did. Humility. Humility. Number two is trust. You know, the best thing about trust, you think about humility, that is when you realize you can't do it. You realize there's something you can't do. Trust is realizing He can. And thank God for the two working together. She said, "I can't, but He can. I can't do it, but Jesus can." And she came, and she found Him, and she did everything she could. She was trusting Him. I would say she probably tried other means. I would say she probably did other things. I mean, it just seems like a mother, she would try all kinds of things, but she knew there was one that could help. She knew there was one. In verse 25, she said, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." Oh, if you would just realize there's one who can help you, and you'd trust Him. How many people here, you know, you've tried all kinds of things. "Well, I called this loan place, and I called that loan place, and these people said they would, the debt consolidation, they're going to help me out." And understand, they're going to help themselves out. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying this. Everybody's got some other motivation and some other reason. Listen to me. Jesus can and wants to help you. He wants to help you. This lady found out, hey, He wants to help me. But she had to cry out, "Help me, help me. I believe You can. I believe You will." and she trusted him. She knew about him. He needed to know her. Amen. She knew all about him. He needed to know her. Would she trust him? Would she trust him with her soul? She'll trust him with her child. Let me ask you a question. You know, all over this room, there are folks that have trusted the Lord with something. Have you trusted him with your soul? Have you been saved? I mean, has there been a time in your life where you called on Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you? See, Jesus, all this whole passage, everything about this is will she really trust? Let's find out. Will she trust him? The Bible says, ye have not because ye ask not. Asking is trusting. Asking is saying, God, I do trust you. I trust you enough to ask you for this. It's time we come to the end of ourselves, where we will recognize there's some things I can't do, and God, you can do anything. You can do anything. She trusted him. Trust is absolutely essential in getting the things from God that we're asking for. It is absolutely essential in our faith. Humility. I can't do it. Trust, he can. Have you trusted the Lord with your salvation? Do you know you're going to heaven today? Have you trusted the Lord with your children? Have you trusted the Lord with your life? How about with your job? How about with your checkbook? How about with your savings account? How about with your retirement? How about with your job? And how about with your relationships? And how about with all these things that we say, these are important? Do we trust him with it? Do we trust him with it? Humility, trust. Number three is importunity. I love that word. Importunity. And you watch in this story. And we'll go to another story, and I'll show you where this word is used, and many of you know this. But notice in verse 22. Okay, first of all, this woman's daughter is in trouble. She's grievously vexed with the devil. Verse 22, it says, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. So here's this woman, and again, Jesus always had crowds around him. But here's this woman trying to get his attention. She's crying out to him. And she says, have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy, O Lord. She says, my daughter, she's grievously vexed with the devil. Notice verse 20, and I love this. It says, he answered her not a word. And being the typical person, she took off. Being the typical Baptist, she said, oh, well, he didn't answer, so I quit. Isn't that what we do? Sure it is. Yeah, I mean, how many times has that happened to you? Well, I just don't know where God is. I don't know why he didn't answer. It's almost like, and I hear this, you know, my prayer hit the ceiling and bounced off. So what'd you do about it? Well, I quit. Okay. He answered her not a word. But apparently she kept crying because the Bible says his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. He and the disciples always were struggling with what in the world we're doing anyway. You know, they didn't quite understand all this. And, you know, send her away. She's getting in the way. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Sad, it's amazing how many Christian people struggle with this very thing. You know? We look at our churches as little social get-togethers. Y'all need to join in with me here somewhere, sometime this morning, all right? Amen. I'm preaching, you're listening, and I feel like there's a great gulf fixed. You know? I say that's the way we get sometimes, isn't it? Oh, there's a sinner in the church. Yeah, that's like saying somebody's sick in the hospital. Yeah. Well, they're messing up our service. What are we here for anyway? Amen. Yeah. She would have really messed things up, wouldn't she? Please! Please, Lord! Please! My daughter! You got to help my daughter!
Excuse us, we've got things to do here. Pardon me, we're having a business meeting. Excuse us, we're having the Lord's Supper. We're recognizing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Don't interrupt that. We're weird, aren't we? Yeah. These disciples, I mean, I feel bad. But I feel bad because we're just like them. Somebody comes in and they don't look like you think they should look. Again, that's like I was in the emergency room the other day, and somebody was there and they had blood all over them. I thought, better throw them out, right? I mean, I know the blood's supposed to be inside. Something's wrong when it's on the outside. I'm trying to help some of you. Smile. It'll be okay. It's all right. Somebody comes in and they don't, you know, they're not quite like what we're used to, and it's like, what are they doing? The disciples. And I'm not mad at the disciples. I'm mad at us because that's how we are sometimes. Right? But guess what she did? The disciples say, send her away. She's interfering with our service. Get her out of here. She's crying after us. Verse 24, but he answered and said, by the way, it's still not the answer yet. He said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Isn't that something? He says, hey, I'm here to reach believers. I'm here to help believers. I'm here to help my children. But she didn't give up. Verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Isn't that good? What is importunity? Importunity is they just won't give up. Look, if you will, over at Luke 11. Luke 11:8. It says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Here's a fellow that needed some bread. He needed three loaves of bread. And he knocks on this other guy's door, his friend's door, and the friend is in bed asleep. And he knocks on the door and says, hey, I need some bread. Friend says, man, I'm trying to sleep. Get lost. Amen? And he says, look, we're all in bed asleep here. Get out of here, man. And so he tries to go back to bed, and the guy knocks on the door again. He said, what do you want? He said, I need three loaves of bread. He says, are you crazy? It's 3:00 in the morning, whatever it was. He said, man, come back tomorrow. He said, gotta have it now. Guy says, get lost. Shuts the door. Takes off. Goes back to bed. Sure enough, fella knocks on the door. That's good stuff. Amen. I don't recommend that with your neighbor. I really don't recommend it with a pastor. We don't use bread. But you know what? The Bible says that because of his importunity. Now wait, he wouldn't rise and give him bread because he was his friend. Why did he rise and give him bread? Because he kept bugging him. His importunity. He would not give up. And it says, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And that's exactly what this mother did. This mother, she came, she cried out, and she was ignored. She cried a little louder, and the disciples said, get her out of here! She's interfering with our service! She cried some more, and Jesus said, well, I'm here to help believers. I'm here to help the lost sheep of Israel. And she kept crying. She says, help me. Lord, help me. Please help me. And because of importunity, continual asking. So that's why Jesus says you have not because you ask not, because you quit asking. You have not because you ask. Well, but I did ask, and you quit. Well, how many times do I have to ask? Well, how important is it?
For this mother, it was real important. You could see how important it is because she just kept asking. Yeah, I mean, seriously, to this mother, it was very important. Now let me ask you, is there anything that important for you? Is there anything that important? I have people sit down with me and they say, hey, I got to have this answer. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, that sounds like that's pretty important. Well, have you prayed? Well, I did once. How important is it? I mean, how important is it? Is it possible that just like Jesus here, he's just waiting to see if you really believe? Is it possible that Jesus is just waiting to see, hey, how important is this thing to you? I mean, to me, it would seem that you would pray until you heard the words, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. That doesn't happen right away. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Because what's Jesus saying there? What he's saying is, he's saying, whatever your will is, let it happen. I'll show you why. I'll show you exactly what it is here. We're just about done. But seriously, our problem is we quit. In 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha goes to a widow's home, and the widow is distraught because she has her husband's died, and she has no money, and her two sons are about to become slaves to pay off their debt. And she tells the man of God about it, and he asks her this. He said, what do you have? And she says, well, I have one pot of oil. That's what I have, one pot of oil. She said, it's not worth much. Can't do much with it. It's just one pot of oil. And he says this. He says, okay. He says, I want you to go to everybody you know of and borrow their vessels. And bring them home and borrow not a few. They didn't have any idea what she meant. They didn't know what he meant. They didn't know what he was going to do. They had no clue. He just said, get all the pots and jars that you can get, borrow them from your neighbors, and bring them here. Borrow not a few. And the Bible says they did. And they had all these vessels in the house. And he took the one vessel of oil, and he poured it into one vessel, and it just kept coming. And he filled a vessel. Now there's two vessels. Then he went to another jar, and he poured into it again, and it kept filling up, and now there's three. And then he went, and he poured into another jar, and now there's four. Do you get it? And the one vessel that was full of oil, it just stayed full. And he just kept filling up all, and just kept filling every jar, every vessel. I don't know how many vessels there were. I just know this. The Bible says when there was not a vessel more, the oil stayed. I got thinking about that and I thought, boy, it seems like they'd had the living room full of vessels. Seems like they'd had each bedroom full of vessels. The hallway would have been full of vessels. The bathroom would have been full of a vessel. In fact, I'd emptied the toilet and made that a vessel. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, I'd have vessel after, hey, here's a bathtub. That's a good vessel. And the man of God would just, Elisha went around with that one vessel full of oil and just poured it out. And when they ran out of vessels, there was no more oil. And then she could sell the oil and have the money that she needed. I don't know how many vessels they had, but they had a lot. See, here's our problem. We just said, what? Do what? What do you want me to do? Vessels? No, I just told you I've got a big debt. No, I just told you we're having problems with our finances. No, don't you get it? We don't need oil. We need money. Don't you get it? Don't you understand what we need? Do you really, really think he doesn't understand? He does. You know, our problem is we want to pray on our terms. And we want to pray one time and expect God to jump. So you bring in one vessel, and now you have two. That's it. Hey, will that pay off the debt?
Borrow not a few. I'm just saying, why can't you pray? If it really matters, why wouldn't you continue to pray every day for that thing to happen? Importunity. See, she kept at it. That's great faith, he said. Great faith. Number four is agreement. Humility, trust, importunity, agreement. Verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord. Truth to what? After he called her a dog. Huh? She said, truth, Lord. In verse 22, she said, O Lord. In verse 25, she said, Lord, help me. Lord is saying, whatever you say. See, here's our problem, and I'm just about done here. Most pray for His will to become ours. Those we say, God, change your mind about this thing. God, I want your will to become what I want. God, I'm going to pray and I'm going to talk you into this thing. Faith is agreement. It's agreement where our will becomes His. Where my will, I'm not changing His will. I'm changing my will. I'm making my will whatever is His will. It's agreeing. That's all. And she had an amazing agreement here with the Lord. Most people would argue with Him. Don't you call me a dog. You can't say that. But what'd she say? Truth, Lord. And she makes a wonderful statement. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs. You know? I mean, most people would argue she agreed. She said, you know, the dogs deserve nothing. But they're waiting to get something. She said, I'll take the crumbs. See, our problem is we say, I want, I need, I deserve. Somebody the other day talking to me said, I deserve. We deserve hell. What do you mean I deserve? God, don't you get it? I deserve this. No, you deserve hell. And whatever you get is grace of God. And to again have this idea, God, if you just let me have some crumbs, I'll take the crumbs. Because I believe crumbs from God are better than anything the world has to offer. And that's what she's saying. I'll take the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs like a dog. I just want my daughter healed, God. I just want my daughter whole. That's all. I love her agreement. I love that spirit. We're so quick when we pray. You know, this is what I want. This is the way it ought to be. This is the way I want it. And I want it right now. And it's like we think God's going to do something. She could have easily argued, but instead she agreed. You know, faith is saying, God, I agree with you. I totally agree. By the way, Jesus mentioned the fact that it was bread. He said, it is not meat to take the children's bread. She picked up on the idea and the fact that crumbs are bread too. I love that. You know, the crumb is bread. It's just little pieces of bread. In fact, it was the same bread that the children would get. In fact, it was the bread that they let carelessly fall from the table. She said, I'll take that. She knew better than the children who let it fall from the table how important that was. She said, I'll take that. And I agree. If I've got to lay on the floor and take the crumbs, I just want my daughter to be whole. We can be so demanding. We can be such big shots. And what God wants to see is, hey, do you agree with me or not? Do you agree with me? Well, God, you need to see it my way. God doesn't need to see anything our way. God is God. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what we need. He knows what's best, far better than we know. He knows what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't have a clue what right now is. He knows all of that. And this great faith is
God, I agree with you. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I'm afraid so many Christians don't understand this because you don't really walk with Him. And if you walk with Him, you'll find you will agree with Him no matter what. My children, they get the bread at the table. It's not fit, it's not proper, it's not right to take a believer's bread and give it to an unbeliever. She said, I want to prove something to you, Lord. I believe that if I could just have the crumbs, I believe my daughter would be whole. And I'll take those crumbs, God. Number five, the last thing is favor. And boy, did He ever show her favor. I'm going to tell you something, it's amazing to me. She had faith for a crumb, but He put her at the table. She said, I'll lay on the floor. I'll clean up the floor with my body, but just let me have a crumb, God. Just anything. Anything for my daughter. She had faith for a crumb, but she got the bread. And the Bible says, Jesus answered, and it shocked Him. Oh woman, He says, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. She said, I know I deserve nothing, but if I could just have a crumb. He said, great is thy faith. She was yielded to His will. Great, He says, is thy faith. I promise you this, He will not favor doubt. He will not favor unbelief. He was convinced that she trusted His will. And He was convinced because of her faith. And so she received favor. What kind of favor? First of all, she received favor to defeat the devil. You talk about favor. Here's a child that was grievously vexed with the devil. And I'm telling you, at that very hour when He said, "Even be it unto thee even as thou wilt," done. Whatever the demon, whatever the devil, whatever it was that had possessed this little girl, this daughter, I'm talking about the devil was defeated like that. And it wasn't because Jesus said something to this demon. It was because this woman willed it according to what the Bible says. He said, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Isn't that good? That's faith. She simply willed that it take place. Favor defeat the devil. Favor, it happened that very hour. We'd like to see some kind of thing filmed so we can make a little money off of it. Hell, they didn't have time to set up the cameras. It happened that very hour. Isn't that good? I love it. And favor, she was made whole, the Bible says. Didn't just kind of partly take care of things. By the way, Jesus doesn't do things partly. He does things wholly. Made whole. And favor in that He said, whatever you will. You know how He could say to her, whatever you will? It's because she yielded her will to His will. And He wants to do that with you and I too. And it starts with humility. Maybe you're here today, you say, I kind of feel like a whipped dog. Good, you're in the right place for God to do something with you. Trust. I mean, I'll take a crumb. Amen. Will you trust Him for a crumb? Because if you do, soon you'll be sitting at the table with the bread. Honestly, this is such a simple, simple illustration of faith. Humility, trust, importunity, don't give up, don't quit, agreement. God, I agree with you. Whatever you want, whatever you say, if I've got to be a dog, I'll be a dog. If I got to have a crumb, I'll take the crumb. It doesn't matter to me. It does not matter. God, I've got to have your answer. And I yield to your will, whatever that is. And then favor. You know, God's got so many things for us. So many things. Could it be said about you today, great is thy faith? Great is thy faith. I guarantee everybody in this room would love to hear, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Can he trust you with as thou wilt? Can he really trust you to say whatever your will is? That's it. Be it unto thee! You have your answer. What is your will? I guarantee if you will have the humility and the trust, and you'll stay with it, and you'll pray, and you'll prove to God, I really believe, I trust you, I know you can do this. And you'll agree. That means when things don't necessarily go the direction you think they should, but God, I trust you, I know you know what's best. Favor is, it's going to come. And you're going to see things happen you never thought could possibly happen in your life. Let's bow our heads, please. A mother's great faith. Of course, this faith is for anyone here. And again, it all starts with salvation. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand if you know that today. You know you're saved. You've been born again. You've trusted Christ. God bless you. Thank you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I promise you that. But I wonder if there's someone here who'd say, preacher, I do not know that. I've never trusted Christ as Savior. If I died today, I do not know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? You'd say, pray for me. Just raise your hand. Slip it up. I'm the only one looking. Anyone at all, you say, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone? How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand all over, all over. Father, bless the invitation and help us, God, to have the kind of faith that we need to have. And it starts, God, with our humility, recognizing that we just cannot do it ourselves. And I pray that you'll give us that and that you'll help us to step out by faith and make some claims in our lives. And God, not give up, not quit, but to keep praying so we can see the favor that you so gloriously show in the Word of God and you want to give to us. Bless the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 308-308. I surrender all. God, speak into your heart today. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate as we sing on the first verse. If you need to come, you come.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. Many have come. If there's something you need to pray about today, do not hesitate. Just come, kneel at an old-fashioned altar, make the decision that God's laid on your heart. If you need to come, come. Still time. Instruments continue to play. Still time. If you have a decision to make, what kind of faith do you have? Do you have any? Well, I prayed, preacher. How many times? Well, I prayed twice. You had two vessels. Could be you needed four. How sad to think of the crumbs that we've let fall to the table. And then to the floor. How sad to think. That's the bread. That's what God had for us. How sad to think. Just as God was going to answer that prayer, you quit praying. Why? Importunity. When's the last time you said, God, I deserve nothing?
But I'd sure love to see you show some grace. I'll take a crumb. Any others need to come? Still time. Amen. All right. Well, 4:30, is there ensemble practice? Ensemble at 4:30. Everything else at 5 except 1st through 3rd grade. No practice for 1st through 3rd grade. But everybody else will meet at 5 and then church tonight at 6 o'clock. You do not want to miss tonight. We'll be featuring master clubs and a couple of groups will be singing. And then there will be a slide presentation, I believe. Another work of art from Brother Tim Cook. That will be exciting. And we hope. But anyway, praise the Lord. And then be back, of course, for the service tonight. Brother Barry, would you come close in prayer? Thank you for helping us out today. Amen.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you that you love us. Lord, what an honor and a privilege it is that you allow us to pray, Lord, not just once, but Lord, sometimes I think that you hold back the blessing just so we want to know how bad we want it, Lord. I just pray that you'll ingrain in our heart and our mind that we, just because of importunity, might not always be the answer that we like, but you definitely will answer it, Lord. And I pray you bring us back tonight. Pastor, as he prepares for tonight, give him your power. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.